going to play Dream Theater.
That's right. We're going to play the opening yeah. screen. Yeah. Having a wait.
Flawless.
Played this?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to play it again. That's just going to have to be okay with everybody. Fantastic. That's going to set the standard right there. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of February in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is Rick Emerson Radio Program. That is Wing, who I believe, now I can't verify this, but somebody told me that Wing has an entire AC/DC album out. It's front to back. It's like 11 different AC/DC songs, so I'm trying to track that down. That's Wing right there. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program for whatever godforsaken reason. 503-733-2970. Here are the comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. If you'd like to engage with us electronically, you can do that as well, as Commander USA would say, in a super telepsychotronic sort of way. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. If you'd like to engage with us in a Byrony. Byrony is when something is funny or unusual to computer people. That wasn't funny to anybody.
Right there.
That was clearly over everyone's head.
and
not even amusing. Not even really to me.
It belongs on a weekend show.
Yes. Why are you going to hate?
I don't know. I'm just spinning out words.
It's Friday. That's what we... That's it. That's really all it is. Just put that on your business card. Fills air time. Fills otherwise dead air. My friend Todd and I used to... We used to write songs and stuff together, just to amuse ourselves and whatnot. And that was always our whole thing. Is that he was really good with coming. He could come up with chord progressions and melody and whatever. And then I would come up with the lyrics. And the lyrics were always just gibberish. That was just meant nothing. And I would just always just say, well, it's time to fill the meter, because that's really all it was. I mean, there was just like 12 bars. It had to be filled with something. And so you spit out any bunch of crap. Okay, fast forward, 2007. Here we all are. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. I was going to open with one of our approved by the FCC things from back in the day. Because there's a new series.
Is this one of the brilliant ideas, though, that you have 15 seconds before the show starts?
Yeah, and I couldn't find it. Yeah, no, it was here somewhere. I couldn't find it. Because there's a new set of those that are coming down the pike, as they say. So I was going to play an old school approved by the FCC bit, but I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in my computer. And it had nothing to do with it. Unlike all the things that happen over on Tim's side of the room, this has nothing to do with the technology we have or the computers we are using. It has nothing to do with the minuscule, like, 288 dial-up connection that this building apparently has to the series of tubes.
And I'm giving an edgy sketch. Just sit here and shake and see if anything comes out of it, basically.
He's over there on a tandy. We've got this glorious new studio, which costs many hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Which is terrific. We're not complaining about it.
For you, Tim, we have here this Vic 20. Now, this comes with a whopping... the funny thing about the Vic 20 is I don't even think the Vic 20 had 20K. On RAM, I think it was 16. Geeks in the house will know whether I'm... Because that was the thing, right? It's a Commodore 60. I ask to this room of people who won't know. Not even I know. I think that was the thing with the Commodore 64. This is a perfect example of that thing I do, isn't it? Right here. This is what people are talking...
I'm not listening.
Thanks. Why don't you give a little mental nudge to everybody else out there? Thanks. Why don't you just put that thought on everybody's head?
That's a great promo.
Turn the dial. that'll be our new slogan.
Then after that, that less blitzing.
There you go. Genius. Audience recycled. Hume gigantic. Our slogan won't be spitting out words. Our slogan will be not even we're listening. Hello there.
Genius.
Oh yeah. If only it were so true. It's 503-733-2970. No, I can spot that glazed over look in your eyes. Anyway, I'm just saying that right there is a perfect example of that thing I do. Where I'm talking about something, and then something just sort of strikes my fancy, and then I wake up You know what it is inside my head is that it's like one of those, it's those nights you hear about, let's say if you're Sarah, where you go out and you remember someone pouring you a drink. And then you remember waking up in a bathtub somewhere, like in some other part of town with one of your kidneys missing and you've got
that?
A concussion. Well, you know what, you know.
I know what it's like to wake up with a concussion.
In a generalized sense. How do you even know that you've woken up with a concussion? Can I tell you this? I don't even know what a concussion is. I mean, I know it's a thing that happens when you hit your head.
I know, yeah. It's when you hit your head really hard and you might
crack. It's not when your skull is cracked. That's a fracture.
Oh.
That's cracking your skull.
Well, I'm not the, you know, Sanjay Gupta.
Can we make the references? Can we make the humor on this show any more obscure today? I'm not Sanjay Gupta. That's a joke for 0.0001% of the audience. And by and I just mean me, basically. That's okay. I made a VIC-20 joke about 5 minutes ago. All right. And we played the worst version ever of a terrible Elvis song. That's how we led the program.
Oh, boy, I have another bit of news for you that might...
That was the catnip we put down at the beginning of the program to entice people to listen. We'd like you to listen. Listen to 90 seconds now of the worst thing you've ever heard. You have what?
It's said that it's not true, but I don't know.
Well, things are always true. When they say it's not true...
Oh, I don't think you want to say that, Rick Emerson. I just found this thing on the internet. Okay, don't be mad at me, because I didn't do this.
You can't... Okay, let's stop right there. Let's stop right there, little Missy. First of all, I hate it when people do that. I hate it when people say, now look, you got to promise not to be mad. Now, I had sex with your wife, and then I killed your pets. Now, you promised not to be mad. And meanwhile, you, like an ass, have promised not to be mad. You, like a jackhole, you've sat there and promised in advance not to be... Now, look, I don't want you to be... Promise me you're not... Will you be cool? Yeah, well, I guess... No, dude. You got to tell me. Tell me you'll be cool when I say this. You got to be cool with this. Well... Yeah, okay. I've killed your whole family. You know, and then what are you supposed to say? You've given your word.
I'm trying to find it.
The number of things that we have addressed in the first 8 minutes of this program are just legion. You know, just the fingernail clippings of this show are more than other hosts actually get to in full hours. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970. I'm going to go back right now from memory.
Do you want me to tell you the thing?
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in that for just a second.
Okay.
Just right now from memory on a blank page here. Hold on. On a blank page, I'm going to try to write down all of the little ancillary side notes I got to in just that 8 minutes. VIC-20. Sanjay Gupta. That's Tim's, but, you know, we'll put it down. Sanjay Gupta. Missing a kidney after drunk. What's a concussion? What's a Nubian? What's a concussion? All right. Wing. New show slogan. I mean, I probably got some more than that, but right there, that's like, the fact that it's taken Tim half an hour to load two audio cuts, which together comprise about 30 seconds of audio. 28H connection. All right, there you go. That's like seven things. That's more than 1 minute. 503-733-2970.
It's a horrible rumor that's already kind of been disproven, but I don't know the way that they disprove. It just seems believable. You're going to be mad at me.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing it up, Ben. Thanks for bringing it up, and now it because now
well, I
can't
not
know.
Well, I feel like I need
know.
To tell you because somebody will probably send it to you, and then you'll freak out in the middle.
No, this
show.
Is one of those things. Better you hear it from me, Rick, than out on the street.
Yes.
Well, all right. Well, let's.
Okay. There's.
We'll
just,
get to. Yeah,
okay.
I gotta steel myself.
You gotta prepare.
I gotta brace.
Understand.
Well, now because now in my head I'm conjuring up all kinds of horrible things that it could be.
Why don't you name some horrible things that you think it might be?
We'll get to. I can think of lots of horrible things.
I know you can.
All right. Well, we'll get to that in just a second. Here's what's coming up today. Anna, Brittany, Anna, Brittany, Judge, Anna, Brittany, DNA. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, will be in the studio with us in the 1 o'clock hour to make more Frito Bandito references. We'll talk to Jim Roop from CNN Radio Los Angeles, who will... it's not that he was a buzzkill yesterday, but you can tell he just... As much as he hates that city, and as much as he hates reporting on the news most days, you can tell yesterday he just wanted to be dipped in oil and set on fire. And he just hates this whole Britney thing. And so what have they got him talking about today? Let me look. Ooh, it's Britney and the Oscars. Woo-hoo!
Woo!
So Ed McCarthy is going to join us to talk about Anna Nicole Smith. Bottom of the hour, he's going to talk about this this nutcase judge in his decision yesterday. Let's see, what else do we have here? Elevator one, head zero. We got the, we'll desperately flail around trying to get to this top five. Oh, and I'm going to read some of these entries. You know, we're doing this 970 greatest things ever promotion, which a lot of people think is a gag. They think that we're making it up. And I get a lot of like, that's a hilarious thing that you're never really going to do, but we are doing it. We are taking submissions right now, and I believe a week from Monday, we begin counting them down. It's going to take the entire year. I think we figured out it's going to take three a day for the duration of the year. So we are calculating the 970 greatest things ever. You can go to 970.am right now and submit yours. If we're taking suggestions, we're going to tally them. And then a week from Monday, this very fine radio station will begin counting down the 970 greatest things ever, climaxing at the end of the year. We're going to lay that out so that it finishes up at the end of December of this year. So anyway, we'll read some of those submissions because people don't think it's a real thing. So we'll read some submissions that we've been getting. All right. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon, who's got a rumor. Now, this is a rumor from the internet. That's where you heard it?
Yes, I saw it on the internet.
All right, I'm going to ask you a series of narrowing questions in just a moment.
Okay.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Oh, my goodness, I've left my screen.
And
your microphone is off.
And my microphone is off.
Is your screen blank?
No, I was just on the wrong one.
Okay.
Well, Anna Nicole's mom files an appeal and appears on the Today Show. Three people are missing after a giant sinkhole gobbled down their homes. A dozen more rats are seen scurrying through a closed KFC. His dreams are dashed, and one of the presidential hopefuls quit the race. And as far as we know, Brittany is still alive.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, it's fantastic for her, I suppose.
I just found a ridiculous song. It's like 10 seconds long about Britney Spears running away from rehab. How everyone tried to make her go, and she didn't want to. By Amy Winehouse.
Who's Amy Winehouse?
She's like a British singer.
Hey, let me ask you this. What is your take on that? I had a whole list of things I was going to do in a segment called Random Crap that we didn't get to this week. And I know that the wiseacres out there will be noting that that's the entire program, ha ha ha. But it's literally just a bunch of one-line questions that I had. Here's the second one I had written down. We'll still do this segment later where I just ask a bunch of random one-line questions that have been popping up in my head all week. Here was the second one I was going to ask, though, which is... This is actually two parts. A, does anybody else know who that Regina Spektor chick is? And B, does everybody else share my assessment that she is going to go from really popular to hated in like the blink of an eye? That she's going to become... Do you know who I'm talking about, Regina Spektor? They play her on your former estate, the station that formerly employed you. They play her on the NRK or whatever they call it, the alternative thing. They and she has that song. It's like a weird sort of Bjork light. It's like they wanted to find a Bjork who was much more palatable to Middle America.
I like that song.
I like the song, too, but don't you suspect that it's like bubblegum and it's just going to get the flavor chewed out of it really quickly and we're all going to wake up in the morning and go,
I think it's been out for a while.
I never want to hear that again.
I heard it a few months ago.
Yeah, Lauren's been playing it a lot recently, and I can tell, man, that's one of those records we're going to look back on in a year. There's certain records that are really indisputably great, but then once they're done, you just never need to hear them again. Like, when is the last time anybody really said, as great as we all acknowledge that he is, as great as we all, I mean, it's indisputed. It is indisputed. As much as we acknowledge what a genius the guy is and how brilliant he was and how great those songs were when they came out, when is the last time somebody sat down and listened to an Eminem CD front to back? You just don't need to. It's like, it's done. We're finished. It's like the glass in our head labeled Eminem is full. I don't need to listen to The Real Slim Shady ever again. I just don't. All right.
When did Matt Peterson change his name to Matty Button?
On MySpace?
Yeah.
Oh, years ago.
Matty Button?
I believe he's attempting...
A fan of Red Button.
I believe he's attempting to give himself a poker nickname. That's just my suspicion. I don't know that.
Do they call him Matty Buttons on the air?
I don't think anybody calls him that. I think he's trying to give himself a poker nickname. That's
why
what I'm
that
saying.
Name? Why? Why Matty Buttons?
I don't know.
All right, are we going to do the narrowing questions?
I don't know. I got all these people calling.
I don't want them to ruin it for me. I must be the one to break your spirit.
Thank you. Thanks for that. All right. Well, in any event. Okay, so you saw this rumor on the internet this morning.
Yes, on the internet.
Was it on TMZ? Was it on a gossip site?
Yes.
Is it about someone we have discussed this week?
It's about, I don't know about this week. they're part of your casual references quite a bit. Oh, he, the person.
They?
Well, not they. He's a member of a thing.
He's a member of a thing. Is he actor? Musician?
He's a musician, yes.
You read a rumor this morning on a gossip site about a musician who is part of my casual referencing lexicon. Rock?
Yes.
Rock.
One of your favorites, which is what?
One of my favorites. Yes.
Yes.
Gene Simmons.
No.
Wait, why am I going to hate this news? And why won't you just tell me?
You want me to, you said you wanted to narrow it down. I've got to just tell you.
All right.
Okay, there's a rumor on the internet today that Ace Frehley killed himself.
Ah! That's not true, and you can't tell me stuff like that.
I know, and it's, you know what?
You can't tell me things like that.
I know, and it's since been disproven, but I don't know, Rick. I don't know. I don't trust the way it was written.
It's been disproven. What do you mean it's been did someone go to his house and poke him with a stick and he moved?
That's what I'm saying.
Who poked me with a stick?
I'm not believing it.
So how did the rumor come out that Ace Frehley had killed himself?
I don't know. I guess that guy, that horrible, annoying actor guy's house park.
Yeah.
That was one of the things.
Like,
he wrote it on his blog.
Yeah.
Then a bunch of news sources started reporting it. And then, all right, where's the thing?
So we're just contributing right now, actually. We're contributing to just the dissolution of the line between journalism and just fiction right now.
You know, I haven't seen him, actually.
Well, no one's seen him around. And would you know him if you saw him? Really, unless he was walking down the street in spaceman boots, you wouldn't know Ace Frehley. So how do we... Okay, so you read this morning that Ace Frehley had taken his own life. And then you said you saw it disproved. How did you see it disproven?
Okay, I have to find the article because the way it was...
Oh, you can't not, dude. You can't tell me that and then not... and then just leave me dangling
no.
and not have it
The
resolved.
Way that it was worded, they're like, oh, silly kids. It's really, you know, alive and kicking. He's on a treadmill this morning. The way it was written was really...
Did they flat out say he's alive, he's not dead?
Yeah, they said that he's sitting at home laughing, eating wheat germ. Very much alive.
Okay, first of all, Ace Frehley is not at home eating wheat germ. I don't care whether he's eating. If he's dead, he's dead. If he's alive, he's not eating wheat germ. Yeah, that's not true. If you're trying to call in right now, you're not having any. The phones are full, unfortunately. So if people are trying to call up with knowledge of Ace Frehley's life status, the phones are full.
And you know what it's saying? And Frehley is said to have taken the news of his death well. Reportedly responding, I don't know how this ridiculous rumor got started.
See, but that no longer means anything because they said that all the time when Reagan was in the hospital, like was joking with doctors when he was clearly out of it. The Sinatra family, like for hours after Sinatra was dead, denied that he was dead. It no longer means anything when they claim a guy isn't dead.
Here's the thing. All right, this is KNAC.com. Rock. Okay, KNAC doesn't print rumors, but this news item is born from rumors without going into details. Okay, I don't know how this ridiculous rumor got started. Smiles Ace. As he eats his daily allotment of wheat germ, preparing to jump back on his treadmill.
Okay, that's a bunch of crap.
That is a bunch of crap. I read that sentence. I'm like, come on, that's a lie.
It's just because it sounds too perfect, and it sounds too. I don't know how this rumor got started, Carly. As he shovels wheat
too
germ.
Too many details. Too many details.
Seriously, he would just put out a statement going, "I'm not dead. I'm alive. Send me some money," and then that's it. And then he crawled underneath a bridge somewhere.
All right, he's currently alive and well. He's in his in-home studio in upstate New York.
Okay. Well, whatever. All right. So if you hear somewhere that Ace Frehley's dead, maybe it's true. Who knows? All right.
You're not that broken up about it.
Because I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true. Seriously, that guy has like 9 lives. I mean, Ace Frehley. He should have been dead so many hundreds of times. He, by the way, was the first, and I believe, he was the first one to ever achieve notoriety for driving his car at 100 miles an hour the wrong way down a one-way street. Long before, like any of the celebrities in Hollywood started doing it. He did that a long time ago. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Brian.
Brian.
I'm trying to think of something funny that rhymes with Brian. Well, whatever.
All right. Well, you snooze, you lose.
Ed, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
How are we going, Rick?
What's up?
You guys kill me with your lack of knowledge on medical situations.
On what?
Anything medical.
Well, I'm not a doctor, sir.
3 weeks ago, you guys were talking about the sore swallowing with the sphincter. Did they ever tell you how he cut his sphincter?
No, okay, we should back up. We had a story about a man who was a sword swallower in a circus, and his, quote, sphincter didn't open correctly because of an infection and then he cut his throat or something, and we didn't know what his sphincter had to do with his throat, but it turns out that you got lots of sphincters everywhere.
Many.
Yeah,
like
I called in about it like 2 weeks ago and told Scotty.
On your head.
Any circular muscle, but plus a concussion is when your brain actually goes through the fluid and hits your skull and causes temporary swelling.
Oh, that's no good.
That is no good. You don't want to go to sleep there because you might not wake up because you're supposed to sit up for like 3 or 4 hours and let the swelling subside.
Did you actually get a concussion?
No,
you know?
I don't think I really got a concussion. I hit my head pretty hard, but...
That's what the thing is. They check to see if your eyes are small or big or something?
Your pupil dilate a little bit.
What does dilated mean? That means gets bigger, right?
Gets bigger.
It's like that thing with drugs where they're always like, your dad would come home and look in your eyes and go, are you on the drugs? And he'd shine a flashlight. And I can never remember whether your eyes were... You know, it was like, that thing about, you can tell when somebody's on cocaine because their pupils something. And it was like...
Don't react to the light.
So do they stay small or are they big?
They stay kind of big, and if you shine a light in them, they won't shrink.
So they don't get small. What's the drug that makes your pupils... What's the drug that makes your pupils small?
I don't know.
Aha!
He stumped you.
And the teacher becomes the student. Yeah. All right.
5-1.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. Yeah, always helping us out. Josh, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up?
Oh, I got an idea about a little contest. I think you're talking about doing where the most something, you know, getting the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yes.
I had an idea with Visa where it's kind of thing, obviously, you're going to need sponsors, kind of like a walk-a-thon, and you're also going to have like a limit, like maybe one per customer or like, you know, so many per family, but it's going to need to be sponsored by Visa. But basically, you have some kind of charity event where, like, somehow it's wrapped in a charity. You always got to do that. But basically, it's like everybody brings their Visa caps and basically tries to make the biggest pile of Visa caps. And then usually you have to send in to get the Visa swag, but they'll have it there. And even if you come in with 100 caps, you only get like the one or the two shirts, whatever the limit is. But it'd be for a good cause, and it's for a great beverage from Portland here, and you get a giant amount of Visa caps. That's my idea.
So we will tell the Guinness Book that we are assembling a huge pile of plastic.
Exactly.
Well, plastic bottle caps anyway.
Plastic vitamin bottle energy caps.
Well, that is true. It is. Well, there probably wouldn't be any competition with that category. We probably would be assured of breaking the record if it exists.
Yeah, what I was thinking.
Fair enough. And it does involve a sponsor, so you get extra points for that. Excellent. Thank you, sir.
And one more thing.
Yes.
If you got time.
Uh-huh.
On the whole rehab thing yesterday, I'll make it very quick.
Yes.
I had to do it through a diversion program, and the therapy group that they had interviewed me was the one I had to check in. But why did you go through the process of waiting to get in there? They stick you in the drunk tank with all the drunks and the little drain in the middle and the wonderful smell. 4 hours sitting in there.
The drain, any room with a drain in the middle of it is a room where something bad is happening.
That's not a good thing.
No.
Anyways, that's all.
All right, thank you, sir.
I made the George Costanza picture of you, by the way.
The one on Sarah's blog?
Oh,
your favorite one.
Yeah, not that I go to Sarah's blog and read about myself.
Not that we were sitting in the room listening to a promo of the show and started laughing about the bagel.
How hysterical we are. All right, thank you, Josh.
Bagel. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Sarah and I were here before the show and that bagel promo's playing and we're giggling at how hilarious we are.
Since we're being so random right now, you know that movie about a boy?
Yeah.
I know it's the book, but the movie, starting it. He is hot now.
Okay, how old is he?
He's like, I don't know, like 19?
Creepy. Oh, is he an adult?
Because it's like, guess what he looks like now, and you think he's going to be, you know, some deformed, mutated version of himself. He is hot.
Is he legal?
Come on. That's that buck-toothed little bull-headed guy.
All right, that's not right. That's not right, because that kid in About a Boy was a freak. How old is he? He can't be legal. There's no way.
I don't know.
You are leering at like a 16-year-old.
He's not 16.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Oh, God.
Don't look it up. I forbid you.
Okay.
I want you to guess. Don't look it up. Give me your word you want.
At least 18.
I'm going to look it up and see how old he is. All right. Let's do one final call. Hello, sir. How can I help you?
Oh, Dr. Dave here. You know, we spoke a few weeks ago. There's so much to talk about, really, whether you want to know about concussions, how rehab works. I'm concerned about your increasing focus on Anna and Brittany, among other things. But before I say anything else, I want to say that I really was wrong about you a few weeks ago when we spoke.
I don't remember any of our conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
If that makes you feel better.
Well, yeah, yeah, that's fine.
If it assuages your pain, I don't even remember who you are.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's no problem. We can start.
And I'm not going to remember this conversation by tomorrow, so
well,
that's okay.
Hey, I believe that, you know.
Okay.
We start fresh every time, Rick, we really do. But last time we talked, I did advise you that you could control some of your more negative thoughts by snapping yourself on the wrist with a rubber band.
You're making this up. Okay. Do you remember this? All right, hold
and
on.
And you accused me of not being a real therapist.
Hold on.
Sadly, I
hold
am
on.
Real. Yeah.
Hold on, sir. Do you remember this? Hold on.
Okay.
Do you remember this conversation, Sarah, where he was telling me to snap myself with a rubber band?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I
think we were still in the old studio.
I don't remember this conversation at all.
Why was he snapping himself?
Because you see guys doing that sometimes. You see guys doing that sometimes where they snap themselves.
Oh, we were talking about smoking.
And every
was
time
it
you
smoking?
Well, yeah, and Lauren actually saw a guy at the beach who was doing that. He was snapping himself with a rubber band, and we actually had like a whole thing about like what is he trying to overcome, like what addiction is he trying to get off of. All right, so you told me to snap myself with a rubber band whenever I was going to do whatever.
And you got scared. You thought I wasn't a real therapist, which is not the case. I'm certified in degrees, but that doesn't really matter in this case, I don't think.
All right.
Thinking about you, I've realized that your problem has nothing to do with rubber bands. Simple behavioral therapy, I don't think is going to help. I don't think it's going to help. I think you have more of an existential issue here, and you probably need a little bit of existential therapy.
Is existential therapy existential therapy where like you just sit by Walden Pond and write about treating me?
No, that comes later. That's when I'm really successful. But for the time being, I still have to actually talk to patients to make money generally.
Where are we going with this?
I'm trying to get past that.
Okay.
So the deal is, I think that you keep feeling uncomfortable at some level with your own fascination with Brittany.
Listen to that. And God intervening. I'm not talking to the phone.
I know you're not.
Oh, that's genius. I didn't even have to do it. And we're done. I didn't even have to
Nicole
do that.
Smith.
I didn't even have to do it myself. It's what's funny is Scotty's stepping on the screen to use the phone breakup sounder.
I can swear for Rick.
I wasn't even touching it. I didn't touch it. God just took care of that. Fantastic. It's going to be a great day. It's 503-733-2970. All right, well, let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll find out how old this boy is that Sarah Dillon is lecturing after. We've gotten to so much in this opening segment. Nothing from the list, but that doesn't matter. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. We're back after this on the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Hello there. 503-733-2970. What a bizarre day it's already been. We'll get to CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy about Anna Nicole Smith here in a second. Are we going to answer about the drug eye dilation thing? Speaking of Anna Nicole Smith. And then we got the... What else? Oh, we'll find out how old this boy is that Sarah Dillon is lusting after. We'll answer the
I'm
magical
sure
question.
He's of age.
Uh-huh.
As I'm running down the hallway screaming, please tell me he's not underage.
If you had to guess right now, how we're talking about this kid. He was in this movie About a Boy.
I'm posting a picture on my blog just because he's so pretty.
He was in About a Boy where he looked like a buck-toothed little freak. There's just no way around that.
Ugly child.
It has turned into what Sarah Dillon describes as a very beautiful man. So how old, if you had to guess how old he was now, how old would you guess?
Well, I wouldn't lust after anyone who's underage. I would say 19.
You feel good about that answer?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
All right.
19.
Let's get to... This is Timothy. Hello, sir. Hello. Going once. All right. Let's talk to CNN radio correspondent from the South. Talking about all things Anna. Our good friend Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir. Hello.
Oh, come on.
Oh, for the love of...
Ed's... Rick!
Hello, yay. Ed. Ed, how are you, sir? Ed? Can he hear you,
Ed,
Sarah?
Can you hear me? No.
I am hearing that music. How are you today?
Hi, Ed. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I
heard you yelling something in the background.
Yeah,
I was you're probably your juggler thing.
I was yelling.
Another second.
I was yelling.
I couldn't hear you.
I was yelling, Ed. That's what.
Well, that's what that sounds like. That's what my wife yells at me when she's mad at me. But.
All right.
Okay. Anyway,
hi, Ed. Does it? Okay, let's just.
I'm looking for closure here.
Stop and get a hold of ourselves. Do I sound normal? Can you hear me all right now?
I sure can.
Okay,
we got it done.
All right, where are you? We've had some gremlins, some ghosts in the machine here. Where are you at right now? You're in Florida, right?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
We are still awaiting any other appeals or whatever is going on here.
Hey, you were just doing an impression of the judge just now, weren't you?
I'm looking for closure here.
I thought for a minute, I just thought it was you were just imitating.
I thought it was Rodney Dangerfield.
Or just, some guy from the neighborhood. I didn't realize you were just doing Judge Seidel or whatever his name is.
All to take DNA, go for the test.
Fantastic. I love that guy. Where is...
I do, too. I really do. You know what? Despite all the criticism he gets, there are a lot of lawyers that work with the guy. We just jump into this thing and we say, there's Larry Seidlin. You know, he's a stand-up comic. You know, tip your waiters. We'll be here all week, but... You know, they say they work with the guy, and that's his style because he's worked so many juvenile cases that he likes to get things all set, you know, and he likes to kind of, you know, overemphasize things and, you know, get all the parties on one page, and he works together with it, you know, and does a pretty good job of it.
Well, it just seems like for all of his affectations or mannerisms or the colorful way he talks, I mean, I don't think anybody said that he has behaved inappropriately. I mean, he's certainly done, you know, it seems like he seems like a fair guy who kind of gets right to the point. He does seem like...
And he's got feelings. I mean, he really did. He really got to him.
Do you think that was real yesterday when he was crying?
I do. I honestly do. I really think he felt that way. Am I naive?
I don't know. It's so hard to say, you know, it's so easy to be cynical about these things in the post-OJ era where you figure everybody's angling for a talk show or a book deal or something.
Never know. Fell over yesterday. The guy from Texas, the lawyer. Dex, you all right now?
Yeah.
Dex fell over. I guess he had some kind of a sugar imbalance or something, and he got something to eat. He was okay. Dex, you feeling all right? So I want to make sure. Dex, because he had a nickname for everybody in that thing, you know?
So where are we now? So she's going to get buried in the Bahamas, although we heard that the mom is appealing and so the body's not going anywhere.
As we speak, apparently they are filing that in West Palm Beach, Florida, the second Circuit Court of Appeals here. So we'll see what happens with that. But she has to get a stay. And there are insiders who say that illegally this ain't going to happen because there'll be a burial in the Bahamas very soon. You know, of course, they obviously, Perper wants to get, the medical examiner wants to get the body out. They had the bizarre viewing the other day in the medical examiner's office with flowers, and I don't know if they had any music, but it resembled a funeral parlor. He said that was the first they've had of that. She's still trying, and she walked out yesterday. It was like kumbaya. They all got together, and it seemed like everybody was on the same page.
It's so bizarre, though. Like, what do you ascribe the fact that Howard K. Stern and Larry Burkhead suddenly were the best of pals?
Yeah, exactly. And they were all out there, you know, like, we're buddies. We agree. We are pals.
But, I mean, how did that happen? These guys are fighting like cats and dogs, and then yesterday they're all brothers in arms. I mean, how did the West...
Well, they had a little meeting in the behind closed doors with this Richard Milstein, who was appointed the guardian ad litem for five-month-old Danny Lynn, and he was the one who apparently got them behind closed doors. And you know, he says, "All right, here's what we're going to do, and we got to get this thing working here because we're running out of time." And basically, they are because you know, if you get into the nuances of bodies when they were out for a while, you know, and I don't want to get into that on your show because you know, yours is a happy show.
Yes.
But it's pretty sick stuff, and you just don't, you know, want to deal with it for a long, long time. So he has to get a, just to go back to this Virgie Arthur, the mother, you know, and she's obviously still, you know, grasping straws here, but she's got to get a stay. And legal experts say they don't think this is going to happen. They think that the more time is delayed where the stay isn't coming, they're going to get Perper and everybody. They're going to get that body ready and ship it right over there to the Bahamas.
So then the next question then is, so what, whither the baby? What's going to happen with the DNA? I mean, is it if the baby's in the Bahamas and then Anna Nicole Smith's going to be in the Bahamas and presumably Howard K. Stern is in the Bahamas, I mean, does that mean that it's all beyond the reach of a U.S. court to figure out who the dad is?
Well, here we are. This is what's going on today here in Fort Lauderdale. We have Larry Burkhead. I always want to call him Burkhart for some reason. Larry Burkhead. He filed, you know, in court today in the emergency hearing, and the judge taking it under advisement. He says he questions how California can give jurisdiction to Florida. And how, he didn't know how did it get into my court was his question.
Right.
He says how could California give jurisdiction to domesticate the order? And they may have no better jurisdiction than he does. So you've got that. And the other thing that's happening is Monday in the Bahamas, there will be a closed-door hearing scheduled to determine the guardianship of Smith's five-month-old daughter. Please don't recommend that I get on a plane and go there.
Good God Almighty. This is just this country is the greatest and worst of things all at the same time. It really is. All right, my friend. Well, relax, and you and Kathy hoist a beverage or two this weekend, and I'm sure we will be talking to you sometime next week. When do you be walking through your front door?
Probably tomorrow afternoon. I ditched her on her birthday, which I felt bad about, you know. It was just one of those things. And then he gave her that awful card. We opened the thing, and it says the candles have been taken care of, and all the fire sirens go off.
You're gonna be playing a little catch up at home, yeah.
I think so.
All right, my friend. Well, travel safely. Enjoy what you can of your weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You as well. And there you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy missed his wife's birthday for Anna Nicole Smith. That'll go over really well with him. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, Jim Roop is going to join us to talk about the which, by the way, they're predicting to be the longest Oscars ever. Hurrah. Longest ever. I didn't even know they were this weekend. Didn't even know. I mean, it's like the Grammys Redux. I didn't even know they were going to do this. And then Martin Scorsese's finally going to win and blah, 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 blah. So there you go. So he'll be talking about the Oscars and Britney Spears. All right, when we last left the Rick Emerson show, Sarah, what is the kid's name? Wait, let me look here. I brought up the internet. Nicholas Holt, his name is. He was the goggle-eyed little bastard in About a Boy, which is really a fantastic film, by the way. That's a great movie.
Yeah, I just totally gave it a plug on my blog after posting that beautiful picture of him. I cannot believe how good-looking he turned out to be. Good thing he's legal.
Uh-huh. So,
no, is he not?
I'm looking at his Internet Movie Database thing, right? We'll reveal in a moment whether he's legal or not. So he was in About a Boy, which is based on the Nicholas Hornby novel of the same Nicholas name. Nicholas Hornby, most notable for High Fidelity. About a Boy is... the British are just better than we are at this kind of thing. About a Boy is one of the only movies starring a mismatched adult and child. Maybe the only movie starring in a mismatch between a cranky adult and a precocious kid that's not crap that's ever been made. Ever. Because even Jerry Maguire becomes crap at a certain point.
It's very real.
It's very clear-eyed, and it is really one of the two movies, along with Bridget Jones' Diary, that really turned me around on Hugh Grant. So Nicholas Holt just plays this just a freakish-looking
little troll. I found a picture of him as a little troll kid.
All right. So now that he is older, where did you see these photos of him? Were they on some blogs?
Yeah, on some blog that I go to.
Would you describe him, Sarah, this former child star, would you describe him who was ugly and who is now, would you describe him more as handsome, attractive, pretty, or hot?
I would say pretty plus hot.
Okay, and so could we add sexy in there as well?
Yeah, I mean, the photos are, you know, yeah, they're sexy-ish.
Okay. And so now if I can ask you this now, see, because I have my own, and I only ask this, here's the reason I'm asking. It is simply and solely because I am pandering to the male demographic that listens to this radio program. I really don't even care.
He looks a lot like Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, lead singer.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. I could see that a little bit, maybe. Have you seen, not to get sidetracked, have you seen the print ads for that My Chemical Romance show that's coming up? Could it be more Pink Floyd? Because we keep talking about how that album is just such a rip-off of the wall.
It's gone now.
The print ad for that My Chemical Romance show is like the most Pink Floyd looking thing I've ever seen. It's a picture of a Colosseum, like the walls of a Colosseum, and then there are planes flying overhead and like the silhouettes of like black sort of abstract bombs falling. I mean, it's like full on the wall. It's like the most wall thing ever. I mean, I'm still going to go, but I mean, good God. So, all right. So I'm asking this simply and solely to pander relentlessly to the male demographic that listens to this radio station and to X number of women who may find this interesting. So now, I have talked about the difference between a woman being pretty, beautiful, attractive, hot, sexy, whatever.
I would say he's more pretty than anything else.
Now, what is the difference? Now, what makes a man sexy to you as opposed to making him merely handsome or attractive?
He's so well put together, and if he looks too perfect, he looks a little feminine.
Now, is sort of a femininity, in your opinion, is what makes a guy pretty or what makes him sexy?
Pretty.
Or is sexy sort of an intangible thing for you like it is for guys?
Yeah, it's kind of intangible. I don't.
The question is, would you have biblical relations with Nicholas Holt if he offered?
If he was legal, perhaps.
That's a yes. There is a perhaps is a yes. All right.
I mean, just look at him.
He is an attractive man.
Can you believe that?
I will, and it is hard to believe that he is the same pudgy little bastard that was in that movie. It's like, what's his name? Vern from Stand By Me. Jerry O'Connell, is that guy? He was Vern in Stand By Me, and then the next time I saw him was in Joe's apartment, and he was all, like, normal-looking and everything. I mean, I don't know that he's an attractive man as such, but he's normal-looking, at least. He's kind of, I guess, Jerry O'Connell's kind of attractive in, like, a jock sort of a way.
Yeah, I've never found him attractive.
But, I mean, he's not, he doesn't look
he,
like
he
that.
Just looks kind of dopey.
But he doesn't look like a fat bastard with no hair from Stand By Me.
That's true.
All right, so your answer about Nicholas Holt, you guessed that he was 19 years of age.
Yes.
Would you like to change that?
20?
He is, in fact, 17.
No, he's
yes,
not.
Yes, he is. Anyway, sorry about that. He'll be legal December, though, in December of this year. So there you go, Sarah. All right, but see, it's okay for you. See, nobody's going to look askance at you for that. That's the thing about being a woman. You're a woman.
If anyone sees this picture, they will see why.
Well, it is, no one cares about when women are like that. No one cares if women find some 16-year-old guy to be hot. It's one of those things. It's either I say that, and I got to be locked up in a cage, and be inspected by a hen shrinker. You know, it's like Aaron and I have talked about that before. Aaron and I have talked about what's her name, about Christina Ricci. And guys, nerdy sci-fi fanboy dudes all had that, like, mental clock in their head of when Christina Ricci was 18, so when you could, like, openly say that you found her to be hot. Let's see. What else do we have here? Well, all right. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, about Ace Frehley being dead, which we don't know is the case, by the way. We don't know that Ace Frehley is dead.
He's not.
He says, which is more unbelievable? This guy, he says, okay, this is the actual... this guy's found a little statement about it on the net. Contrary to published reports, former Kiss guitarist Ace Frehley is alive and well and working on his highly anticipated solo album. It has been erroneously reported on various websites and wire services that he had committed suicide. I don't know how this ridiculous rumor got started, smiles Ace.
Oh, come on.
As he eats his daily allotment of wheat germ, preparing to jump back on the treadmill. They're really overselling, I think, his healthiness.
Uh-huh.
In a January 2006 interview, Frehley had the following to say regarding his projects. I've been working on a solo album, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so this guy says, which is more unbelievable, the wheat germ or the phrase highly anticipated solo album? Boy, that's completely true. His EKG is flatter than his vocal on Shock Me. That smiles Ace. It just totally sounds prepared by a press agent.
Yeah, and the specifics of his breakfast and how he's about ready to hop on the treadmill, that sounds...
Seriously.
That sounds made up.
It sounds like that thing about, like...
And that is the scariest thing out of that, by the way, because that makes it sound like they're lying.
Well, that thing, that the smiles A's as he eats wheat germ and hops on a treadmill, you know why that sounds so fake? Because it's exactly the same kind of thing that they publish when someone is trying to peddle the fact that they're off drugs. And that's a whole lot of, like, you know... Said whoever, you know, in just said Steven Tyler, you know, hopping on a cardio machine and eating 15 raw eggs. Let's see. Rick, about your pupils. Meth, coke, etc. make your pupils huge.
Huge.
I used to have a program director who will remain nameless. All right.
Okay.
We'll leave that.
Okay. Thank you. That came out without even thinking.
Yeah. How about if I said me too? I think the list of usual suspects is longer for you, Tim.
That's right, so I can get away with that.
Am I the true?
As a matter of fact, the person who my program director procured these materials from...
And by materials, you mean drugs.
I'm not saying.
Drugs.
Okay. Used to work after me on the air, so... He had the courtesy of showing up for work anytime he felt like it.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you don't even know.
And I always had another job to go to that paid real money, and he was supposed to be there at 9. Then it became 10. Then it became 11. Then it became 12.
Oh,
and if you complain, You know, Tim, you're a hell of a guy, but I got to replace you with an old friend of mine who...
I hate that.
From Denver.
I hate that. Well, this is a separate story. I was going to say, I had this PD who used to come in, and you knew he was cranked up because he would come into the station, like I was working overnights, and he would just come in at like 2 in the morning and just for like no reason and just hang out in the studio and like stare at you and sweat and talk 1,000 miles a minute at you. And like, and then he would want to drag you into the production. Oh my God, I had a production director who did this too. He would want to drag you into the production room. Like you're doing an air shift, which back at that time meant that you had to be there because you had to, you know, play music by hand. And so he would want to drag me into the production room and, like, play me some bizarre spot that he cut 10 years previous and, like, play it as loud as he possibly could and then dissect it for some, like, you know, like a car repair, you know, like some muffler company. Listen to this spot I did for the Bob's Muffler House. Listen to how I mix these sound effects in the background, like shouting it at me. And his pupils, like his eyes were just black, man. Like they were so huge. His eyes were just jet black. But that thing you said about having the PD who was on the coke, I will tell you this. It's not where this program director got the cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not in any way narrow down where this was or who this was, but I did have a PD at one point who procured his cocaine from God knows where, but was, I'll be really vague about this, was having a relationship that everybody knew about, but no one was supposed to talk about, like it was an open secret, was having a relationship with one of the on-air personnel. And so... And they would vanish for days at a time.
What?
Yeah, and they were both air talent. He was and she was. They were both air talent, and not weekenders. They were both real regular air talent, and they were also having a relationship, and they were also drug pals. And so they would just vanish sometimes, and it would be like a couple days. Where's so and so? Well, I. Don't know, hasn't showed up. But, of course, you know, nobody's going to do anything. He's a PD. You can't do anything to him. You know, and the upper man of the GM was just isolated from the situation. Nobody wanted to tattle. He would vanish. And then, of course, half the time, she just wouldn't show up for her shift. And then, like, who are you going to complain to? You're going to complain to the PD? She's not there because she's often at, like, some hotel room giving it up to the PD while they're both just sacked out of their brain on cocaine. So, yeah, and so I would... So the phone would ring. Like, 3 minutes after her shift was supposed to start, my phone would ring. Hey, so-and-so isn't here. Can you come in? And after a while, you know, for a while, it's sort of good, easy money. And after that, it just starts to irritate you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become filled with rage. Anyway. So, let's see. Anyway, meth, coke, etc. make your pupils huge. Heroin and other opiates make them very tiny. Pin pupils are a dead giveaway, apparently. Okay, so there you go. So there's the answer, should anybody ever ask you about that. We have to take a break. We'll be back after this. We will begin the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, we'll be joined by Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Also, Jim Rube from Los Angeles. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere.